Good morning, everybody. I'm Bill Dance. If you love fishing as much as I do, you're really going to like listening to my old buddy, Luke Clayton, for the next hour.
Thanks, Bill. This is David Fox, and welcome to Outdoors with Luke Clayton and Friends. Luke has been a recognized outdoors writer for the past three decades and writes for a host of outdoor publications. Luke pens a weekly newspaper outdoors column that appears in over 40 Texas newspapers and is on the pro staff of Gearhead Archery, Air Force Air Guns, Sightmark, Smoking Tech's Electric Smokers, and feel free to contact Luke through his website, catfishradio.org. Now let's join Luke and his guest for this week's show.
Welcome to another segment of our Campfires with Luke Clayton and me, Larry Weissman. We've been brought to you now for a really long time by DSC, by Hornady, Taurus, and also Texas-raised hunting products, which is TRHP Outdoors. And Luke and a couple of others, by golly.
You bet. Yeah, TRHPOutdoors.com is where folks can go to get some of the Scent Guardian and all the good. You know, right now the trapping scents, or lures, I guess we should, lure, is available there at TRHP Outdoors, Larry. And also, Skin Him Right. This is the neatest gambrel in the world. I keep bragging on it, but if you've ever seen one, you'd understand why. It's, I always kid folks, Larry, that this Skin Him Right, you can look at it at skinhimright.net. But you can hang anything from a jackrabbit to a bull elk. They've got loops.
That's the truth, too.
It is true. Yeah, there's loops that fit, honestly, a javelina you could hang. Then there's some that you could, outer loops that you could hook an elk on. It's pretty cool gizmo. I think it's Mr. Terry House invented that thing. Anyway, Dallas Safari Club, it's a wonder that you can, you've recouped your voice after all that talking for about several days there, Larry. That's good. But I was there, got to spend some time with you and Jeff Rice. That was Jeff's first time to attend a, you know, Dallas Safari Club convention. He was really impressed with it. Lots of good folks and lots of fun, wasn't it?
It truly was. I'll tell you what, it was tremendously successful. I think everybody was so excited to finally get out again and be in person. And, you know, we had a few people that wore masks, but we had most people did not, kind of thing. So lots and lots of good people there. I've always referred to that as kind of a family reunion, and truly that's what it is. I think we broke records for attendance. I think we broke records for the money that was raised, which the beauty of that is DSC it's got a very, very small paid staff. And, you know, when you look at that convention with the, gosh, what was it, 1,800 booths or whatever, most all that's put on by volunteers that we call the DSC 100 now. Initially, there were 100 people that were that. Now it's probably closer to 1,000 volunteers that we have, and that DSC 100 stands for 100% of support and 100% of being there. And so kind of changed things around a little bit in that, just for the name of it. But I'll tell you what, it was out of this world good. We have people from all over the world, and all the vendors that I talked to were smiling, and every person I saw in that hall, which amounted probably somewhere in excess of 30,000 people, they too were all smiling.
Yeah, everybody was having a really good time. And what you don't know, the mount of the leopard that you took there in Africa years ago, you know,
yeah.
You took us by and we got to chat with the gentleman, the PH, the outfitter.
Yep.
There. Well, Jeff Rice and I went back by there and visited with him. And Jeff filmed a little segment of our sportsman's life with him talking about the day that you, about the, your harvest of that cat.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's Yopsi Blau with the Zumbo Safaris out of Namibia. And
yeah.
Unbelievable. Excuse me, I may end up losing my voice after all.
Well, that voice has been put through. You've been busy.
Yes, I mean, that was an absolutely gorgeous leopard, and still is. I had it mounted by Double Nickel, who does a lot of taxidermy work, who does all my taxidermy work these days. And that leopard weighed 184 pounds, and he did not have a pound of meat, didn't have anything in his stomach, quite frankly. So, you know, had he been eating like they normally do, that would have been a 200-pound leopard.
Well, the power of all the cats, the big cats in Africa that's been hunted, and you've hunted lion and, you know, a lot of it there, but the mystique of a leopard, it's almost, you know, I've never hunted them, and I'm sure I probably never will, but the mystique of a leopard just kind of appear and disappear, and they're so cunning and so aware of their surroundings too, aren't they, Larry?
They truly are. Essentially, they're a nocturnal animal, and unfortunately, you cannot shoot them at night. Or fortunately, whichever the case is, Namibia. Yeah. So, have to be taken during daylight hours. And a lot of times, you'll bait them, and this one just really wasn't coming to bait when we were finally able to take him. And kind of the last moment, really at the end of about I don't know if you obviously told everybody, but it was like the end of a 13-day hunt. And we'd go to the blind for the most part at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, hunt until dark, stay there all night so we'd be there first light so he wouldn't scare the leopard off, you know, in case he came in after dark or be there first thing in the morning. And you can't move, you can't sleep, and you stay until 10 o'clock and go back home, take a shower, and try to go, you know, sleep for an hour or two, and then head back out there. So very long, grueling hunt, you know, almost kind of like fishing offshore for a big billfish where it's boring, 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 and then all of a sudden, you know, get one on. And that's kind of the way the leopard is as well, too. Talk about great boredom and great excitement both in the same hunt.
And then, I've read a lot, as I'm sure many of our folks listening have, about, you know, tracking a leopard where the shot is not good, but there's a lot of, there's a whole bunch of importance. Being a lifelong hunter, I know that it's a fact, people want to admit it or not, every shot is not perfect. There's so many variables when you're hunting, but you strive, you know where that bullet's going to hit at 70 yards or 60 or wherever far away you are from that bait. But if the leopard is wounded, I mean, that's a whole different scenario, isn't it, Larry? You know,
it truly is. I shot mine with a Hornady bullet and made an absolutely fantastic shot. Luckily, I mean, it was very, very quick, not a whole lot of time, but, you know, I shot that rifle and started numerous times. And one of the beauties of it was we're using a Trigicon scope that had that green dot in it, the AccuPoint. So mm-hmm. I was able to get on target real quick, shot. Leopard disappeared. We waited a while, and then you have to go in and look for them, you know. And you're in thick grass, thick brush, scary situation, seeing blood. And when a leopard charges, he goes from person to person. He'll start with one, chew on him and whack him numerous times with his claws, go the next one, and go the next one, and go the next one, and then run off again. But thankfully, the leopard that I shot did not go but about, maybe 30, 40 yards at the very, very most. And he was piled up underneath a bunch of bushes there. But, yeah, it can, even that moment from the time you pick up the track until the moment that you see that animal is down for the count, It's pretty exciting. There's some anxious minutes there, if you will.
You bet. Larry, the PH in a situation like that, does he have a shotgun with double aught or something, or what's it that they usually carry?
It really kind of depends upon the individual PH. Mm-hmm. So a lot of guys will carry a shotgun, and then some will carry their regular rifle
mm-hmm. that yeah.
they carry all the time. It's kind of whatever they're most familiar with. I think there's probably a tendency these days for more people to carry a shotgun and loaded with double aught or, you know, or something mm-hmm. close to that can inflict, maybe discourage that leopard from coming on.
Yeah, up close and, yeah, for a quick aiming solution, yeah, that would kind of make sense to me, you know, it would. Well, we've got a new year. We're into our new year now, Larry. A lot of fun stuff coming up. I'm very excited about our TV show, if you will. It's on Carbon TV.
Me too.
Yeah, A Sportsman's Life. It's it's funny how that's morphed into. It's not funny. I mean, we put a lot of hard work into it all.
Jeff, sir.
Jeff Rice
particularly Jeff.
Yep. I mean, we have. It's been a work in progress, but yeah, it's gained popularity pretty quick. I know. You know, last month, it was one of the top shows, A Sportsman's Life, there on Carbon TV, Larry. So very proud of that. Like you say, mostly Jeff's work. You and I, you turn the camera on, we're going to do what we're going to do.
We're going to talk.
That's right. And hunt or fish or whatever.
Absolutely.
But we've been fortunate to have some very good material, such as up at Texoma, striper fishing with Bill Carey, Striper Express, and his son Chris. We have that, and big catfish being landed down at Tewakinen, and mule deer hunts with you, and hog hunts with me. And, you know, honestly, we've had a lot of good content, I think, that most people can do. You know, I mean, not everyone could travel to the Himalayas to hunt or whatever, but, you know, our topics are things that most people could do, you know?
You're exactly right, and we try to keep it very, very timely. That's not to say that we may not throw something in down the way somewhere, but, you know, on a far-off hunt, because all of us kind of dream a little bit. But
yeah.
Between some of the hunts and the fishing trips we do, I'm getting ready to go back up with Bill and fish for striper and probably doing a hog hunt or maybe even a squirrel hunt right after that. But it's a weekly show, and so everything is very timely. And you being the camp cook that you are as well, too, it just really, there's a good cooking segment in almost every one of the shows. One of the things we're looking at, too, is adding a little bit more about what people can do as far as their properties are concerned when it comes to anything having to do with wildlife, and maybe even how to, you know, if you're interested in buying a piece of property or improving your property. We'll probably end up adding a little segment here or there about that as well, too.
You bet. Well, Larry, speaking of segments, this one is we've about used up all of our time, but you'll be right here next week with me. We're going to talk some more outdoors. I know that.
Yes, we will.
Yep, folks, Larry has been with us every week for the past 13 years, and we're looking forward to the next 13 years. I want to leave two websites with you right here, folks, and I want you to check them out. UltramaticFeeders.com. My buddy Carl Harmon makes the best line of game feeders in the world. I've used them for, 18 or 20 years now. If you're interested in shooting powerful big bore air guns, hunting with them, the Texan by Air Force Air Guns cannot be beat. I've used them since they actually came out. AirForceAirGuns.com. You can check them out right there. Of course, they have 25 calibers, 22 calibers, lighter calibers, but that Texan is a powerhouse, and I want you to check it out.